to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
So last Sunday evening, we had our all-in team night. We had a great night here together, and we launched what is our theme for the year, which we're going to be talking through here this morning as well. And so for me, it's a moment that I carry a little bit like a spiritual pregnancy, although maybe Emily says it can't be anything like what I've just been through doing the legit thing. But there's a sense of birthing something in the spirit. And so I carry it and deliver it. And anyway, so Sunday was a big day where pastors gather from 7:30 and we pray, and then we had Sunday morning church and stayed on and kind of worked and prepped and prayed through the day into the night. And then so got home a little bit after 8 sometime and sat on the couch, and it's a solid day, and I just looked forward to sitting. And so I did. I sat on the couch and I had 2 SMSs on my phone. They're from the same person. And so as I looked, they were vicious. They were accusatory and just kind of plain mean. So now before you try and figure out who here is, no one here, you're all safe. And Em did say, just make sure they know that it wasn't me. And I was like, that's just weird. Like, why would you text me? No one here, you're safe. But so I was tired, and then I just wanted this sorted. I just needed this kind of done so I could get down to kind of relaxing. So my instinct in that moment as I saw this and as I started to, with my thumbs moving, typing on my phone, if you can see that, to get that first reply in, was just to tell this person that they're out of line and put them in their place. So that's what I started doing. I wrote a strong reply. It wasn't harsh, but it was truthful. And then needed to know that they were out of line, and so I was going to tell them. I'm going to finish this story a little bit later. Instead, we're going to go to the Bible. So read beautifully by my wife in the message, and so let's head through. In the NIV is my preferred text version. So Philippians 1:27, and I'd encourage you to dive into the book of Philippians this year. Dive in, enjoy. From verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Before we continue, so this is the Apostle Paul writing this letter to the church in Philippi. And so if you're new to this whole thing, so church in Philippi, they're called the Philippians. And so we live in Australia, we're called Australians. And so that's how a lot of the epistles work when you're here. And some of you just go, oh, wow, okay, there we go, that makes sense. And so here we have this letter to the church in Philippi. It's a very patriotic Roman colony. And so the Apostle Paul planted this church, the first church in Eastern Europe. And you can see in Acts 16, you can see a little bit of this happening. So now this is around 12 years after the church has been planted. And Paul is writing a letter to this church from one of his imprisonments. And so the church has taken up an offering. The church in Philippi has taken up an offering. They've given it to a dude called Epaphroditus. And so it's a great name. I was a little disappointed Ellis wasn't... thought Epaphroditus was a good option. So Epaphroditus heads all the way to Rome, takes this money to support Paul in prison, gives it to him, and then Paul has written this letter and he sends it back to the church in AD 61 here with Epaphroditus. And if you're interested in a bit of an overview of the book of Philippians, so the Bible Project, if you jump on YouTube, The Bible Project has amazing animated summaries with beautiful theology. And so there's a 9-minute Book of Philippians overview. It's absolutely fantastic. So I'd encourage you, do that. Not right now, but later you can do that. So here we go, from verse 28. And so without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they'll be destroyed and that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you were going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So there's persecution, and Paul's writing actually from jail as he's imprisoned for his faith. From chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking out for your own interests, but each of you for the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And therefore, here's a bit of an application for you as it continues. My dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, or with deep reverence. For it is God who works in you to act, to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Okay, I want you to engage your imagination right now, and Jesus is coming to work with you. So in physical form, he is walking with you into work, or school, or uni, and you're introduced like, hey, this is my friend Jesus. And he starts making conversation. Maybe you're at the shops and you're buying something, and he starts chatting with the person at the counter. They're like, what is the interaction like? What's the sense that people get as they're communicating with Jesus? As he talks with them, they talk with him. As he finds a way to connect, and they feel just this, there's something different about this guy. So I want you to think of some words right now. So these people who are having an encounter with Jesus. So if they were to say, wow, he was so dot, 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 what could be some words that come after that? So if we think of incarnate Jesus represented, seen in the Gospels, and we see his interactions with people, we get a snapshot of what it's like to connect with Jesus. And so I want you to think, if he was walking with you, what are some of the things people would say, their encounters with him as they engaged in conversation, as they connected with him, what might be some of those things? Wow, he was so kind. Could be something where they just felt this love. Is there someone else got one you want to yell out at us today? He was so compassionate. Interested. So good. He was kind. He was interested. Relatable. Humble. Very good. Very good. I can't hear everything that's been yelled out, so I hope it's appropriate around where you are. He was so empowering. He was so, depending on the conversation, man, he was so wise. He was so radiant. It was just this. He was like, he's so normal, but so glowing at the same time. It kind of messed with my head a bit. He was so kind of unshakable. There was just a confidence in him, just a strength. There are many wonderful things that people could say after these encounters with Jesus. And what we've just read from Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 6 to 11, it's sometimes called the Christ hymn and often thought of as the centerpiece of the whole New Testament. We have these extraordinary comments about Jesus. And from verse 7, it tells us that he took on the very nature of a servant. He took on the very nature of a servant. And verse 8, that he humbled himself. And so here we see this intentional choice made by Christ of servant-hearted humility. We see that it's like the foundation of Jesus' nature was servant-hearted humility. He chose this posture, servant-hearted humility. And so now I want you to think about when Jesus did come to earth again, as seen in the Gospels, and to him communing, connecting, walking through, having conversations with people that became life-changing for them. I want you to think about those moments. And so as Jesus walked through the streets and with his default posture, servant-hearted humility, I want you to think, him owning this posture of servant-hearted humility, did it dilute the power that was able to be displayed through him? No, it wasn't a powerless posture at all. Did it decrease his strength to accomplish that which he had set out to accomplish? No, the servant-hearted humility didn't limit, but rather amplified. Did Jesus only then do menial tasks to kind of prove that he was a servant-hearted leader, or to do these kind of what people might think is menial things just to earn the Father's approval? No, there was no necessity for him to do that for those reasons. So did posturing and servant-hearted humility mean Jesus avoided all things leadership? Because that's not servant-hearted humility. Of course not. Of course not. Did posturing and servant-hearted humility, did it shrink his godly confidence? Not at all, not one iota. Did servant-hearted humility, did it hem him in and restrict his identity? Not at all. Did it keep him small? Not at all. The most powerful person in the universe postured himself every day in servant-hearted humility. The most empowering and effective leader of all time postured himself in servant-hearted humility. Yes. And it's interesting, in the Greco-Roman world where Jesus entered, humility was not considered a virtue at all. And so the life and ministry of Christ began to shape culture so that humility is seen as a virtue, well, maybe was before recent times, seen as a virtue because of the work of Christ. But now today in our upside down world, there's something about our Western post Christian, consumer-driven, you-do-you kind of culture. It's you-do-you unless your version of you-do-you is kind of different to the, again, this upside-down logic which is screamed so loudly today. And the reality is that posturing of our world is the exact opposite of humility. And so we've seen this unraveling from one of these core components that Jesus wanted to weave into the people that he so loves so passionately. And there's been a turning from humility and an elevation of a prideful posture. And so the Jesus model, the way of living that Jesus demonstrated, so much has been lost and needs to be reclaimed. And so there is a reclaiming that is part of our call in this time, here and now. And we are called, we see in chapter 1, verse 27, to conduct ourselves in a way worthy of the gospel of Jesus. From 2, verse 5, to have the same mindset of as Christ Jesus. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, to imitate him, to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. From Ephesians 2, 24, to put on our new selves, created to be like God, to put this on, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. From Romans 8, 29, to be conformed to the image of the Son. We are called, you and I are called to posture ourselves in servant-hearted humility. And that is our theme for this year, that we together would lean in, would be ever transformed by the goodness of our God, and that we would live these lives postured in servant-hearted humility. This is the way of Jesus. Servant-hearted humility, the way of Jesus. To grow more like Jesus is to grow more in servant-hearted humility. To live with Jesus in the center of our lives is to live, to be postured in servant-hearted humility. So I want you to engage your imagination again. Engage your imagination again. And so we talked a little bit about Jesus walking through the streets and people interacting with him. And what are some of those words that they would think that, wow, he is so, what was some of that? And so here, let's keep our imagination engaged as we go, okay, so now you and I, as we commit ourselves to be a people who are ever transformed into his glorious image, as we are a people who every day of our lives, where he is doing a supernatural work through the power of the Spirit inside of us, where it's not about our human effort, it's about releasing him to do what he needs to do in and through us. And as we are transformed more and more, that we are these mini Jesuses walking through the world, that the things they thought about Jesus as he walked through town, they begin to think more and more of us as we walk into our workplace, our place of study, the shopping center, the sporting ground, that work in us would never stop. More like him, owning this posture of servant-hearted humility, that people would have an encounter with you. And we prayed for all those who work in the education department on Wednesday night gather. And so maybe 40 people who are part of our church in that sector, and they're here, and maybe another 40 or so around praying for. And so if you're one of those in the education sector, that as you head into that school, that TAFE, that uni, that someone would think after their connection with you, because you are postured in servant-hearted humility, allowing the Spirit to continually awaken the life of Christ in and through you, that they're like, wow, that person has a strange wisdom. And I don't remember them having, if they've known you for a long time, I don't remember them being like that back then. They listened to me, they really heard me in a way that's just unusual for here and now. They seemed attentive to what I was saying. They had this strange confidence. It wasn't pushy, but they were just assured things they thought about Jesus, they think about Jesus alive in us, that the world would see him through us. There was a radiance. There was something unshakable. Man, there was a compassion in them. Lord, would you do it in us? From like 2:15 here, that we would shine like stars in a warped and crooked generation. Has there ever been such a need for us to own that mandate and shine like stars, not for self-glory, but for his glory? This is our call. Servant-hearted humility, the way of Jesus. So church, I want to call you on this adventure this year. This year that we together would dive in and allow God to do in us that which he wants, so that he can get into the world around us with ever more capacity through us. Come on the adventure this year. And so some little things that you can expect as we walk through the year. And now I wanted to let's just say the preach that I had planned probably would have gone for about 80 minutes this morning. Before I think the Holy Spirit gently reminded me, Jase, this is your theme for the year. You got time, son. And so there are some good things coming up that I'd love to just give it all to you today and we just leave, I don't know, like Tuesday afternoon. It's a few cool things. So next week, actually. So next week, we're going to talk in a little bit of detail about humility and about servant-heartedness and a hint. It's not going to be exactly what you think. I'm excited about that. And then also next week, we have some real helpful and inspiring personal next steps for how we can live this posture more and more in our daily lives according to how you're wired and your individual call. So that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. Across this year, we're going to do a 3 or 4 week series sometime later in the year, looking at your gifts, the unique gifts given to you, and growing and activating them in the world. And we're going to look at and see how critical this is to this posture of servant-hearted humility. We're also going to have an apologetics series, how we can serve the world by delivering clear answers to some really important and sometimes difficult questions. Also have some research from Dr. Everett Worthington, who's the world's foremost expert on forgiveness. And then he also has a whole curriculum on humility. And so I've got this 84-page workbook that I'm working through, which is The Pathway to Humility. It's intriguing. It's liberating. Who thinks they don't need it? Wise decisions. And I want us to lean in. You know, one of the greatest gateways, greatest catalysts to us diving into this servant-hearted humility posture is prayer. Just the very action of prayer. We are humbling ourselves that we're not in complete control of our lives, but we have a God who is, and we need to commune with him, communicate with him, pray things for ourselves and for others with him. And so Wednesday night gather is not something that our church is doing forever, but it's been a clear mandate given to us because God wants to and is calling us to grow more and more as a people of prayer. This is not about a prayer meeting. This is about a catalyst to help posture us to grow more and more as people of prayer. People who don't just lock prayer into this is how it works for me and this is what I think prayer is, but discovering the extraordinary breadth of what prayer is and determining that I'm never going to get stuck in my prayer life. Even if you've been following Christ for decades, that we reach plateaus, we find a place where we're comfortable, and we tap out before we see even more of what God has for us. And I don't want that for any of us. And so let this be a catalyst for each of us to continue on our prayer journey. And so I call you, I encourage you, be a part of Wednesday Night Gather, 6:30 to 7:30, every Wednesday night in the school term, here. And I don't know if this, I think you'll like this. I think you will. Three times each term, there's going to be live worship that just happens, but you're not going to know when. Is that like, does that sound like a marketing pitch? If it does, I'm sorry, kind of. And the first one of every month is going to be themed, have a clear theme, like for this one, just Wednesday, just gone, as I said, praying for those in the education sector. And man, it was seriously, it was beautiful. So I hope if you were here and that was you, you were blessed and encouraged by that. So good. And so in our Wednesday night gathers as well, we're modeling different postures that we find ourselves in prayer. And so we start with this posture of surrender, this occupying a place of humility before God and learning what that can look like and feel like and going deeper in that place. We also have a posture of contending on calling for his kingdom to come, his will to be done here and now in our time. And then a posture of spirit empowering. Remember that what he calls us to is so far beyond our natural abilities. We need his power in our lives. Otherwise, we're going to shrink his call to what we can pull off by ourselves. And then as we do that, it's only others who miss out. And so let's be postured. Oh, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit. So let's do that together. So I'm sitting on the couch, I'm tired. Is this the only reason some of you didn't leave earlier? I'd written the first reply. And you know, I just shared with those who are here at All In that this is our theme for the year, servant-hearted humility. And I just felt I can't send that message. It's like, is this how Jesus would have communicated? And you know those moments where you're like, this is really annoying that I'm thinking this, because now I can't have this task complete. So I deleted it and I started writing another message. And it had a tone. And so I deleted that message. By this point, I'm annoyed with myself. Probably a little annoyed with God. You know, and there is a time for straight conversations. Absolutely. There is a time to challenge people's poor behavior. Absolutely. But even when we do, we've got to ask ourselves, what are the conscious or unconscious motives that we have for doing so? And it's interesting, as I just kind of reflected, and was there a tone in this message where I was speaking down to this person from my lofty position of righteousness? Did I just want to put them in their place? Did I just want to win? If it was an argument, I'm going to win it. Feel good. I like winning. Was there a who's going to be the better Christian kind of thing going on? You know, in moments like this, are we actually kind of subconsciously happy to kind of push someone down because in some strange way it feels like we're actually lifting ourselves up? It's important to then kind of question these motives. And at the heart of servant-hearted humility is love. It's love. This is who our God is. He is love. Perfect love. Love that's hard for us to even understand in our human minds because our version of love is so distorted. He's perfect love. And he wants us to grow more and more understanding what his perfect love is. Servant-hearted humility is seen in Jesus. The ultimate foundation of it is love. That is the way of Jesus, love. So at the core of this SMS reply, was there love? No. No. And I didn't say anything bad. I could have shown you those messages and you could have read the thread, what was sent and what I was going to send, and go, yeah, that's appropriate. But I knew this did not have the love of Christ in the center. So I did a third message. It was shorter. It wasn't heaps different, but it had the love of God embedded in it. The next day, I actually received an apology from this person. And now I'm aware that this doesn't always happen. And we can't base our actions upon what may or may not happen from someone else, and we can't control their actions. We're not responsible for other people's behaviour. But I did feel like this message was a test for me and a reminder for all of us as we launch this theme for our year. Servant-hearted humility. It's a posture that I'm going to try and lean into this year, and let's do that together. Servant-hearted humility. And what we're doing is we're consenting to a gracious and powerful work of the Spirit inside of us so this world can be even more blessed through us. So my goal for us this year is that we dive in. That at the end of this year, we could see each of us looking a little more like Christ. That others around us, those who connect with us in our workplace, place of study, sporting grounds, family, those who see us behind the scenes, those who see us in public settings, that every part of our lives would ooze a little more who Jesus is, because we've allowed him to do the work that through the Spirit he so wants to do. And so let's lean in together. Can we stand? Badeen, if you want to join me, thank you. Just want you to, after everything that's been said this morning, I just want you to kind of, what's stirring in you, just hold it before God right now. You may want to close your eyes. You may want to just open your hands before him. Just hold it before God. We invite you, Lord, to be our Lord afresh. Come, Holy Spirit, continue your gracious work of freedom in us. We thank you, Jesus, that you have set us free. We thank you through your life, death, resurrection, ascension. The price was paid. The victory has been won. And so we open our hearts afresh that the victory of all victories would be ours again. That the greatest love known to humanity would break out afresh in our lives. God, where those areas where we're prideful and arrogant and controlling, where you'd graciously and powerfully strip them out of us. We thank you that they'd be undermined in their power, Lord, and that we would continue to rise as people formed in your image, in the perfect image of Christ. Just go ahead where you are. If you believe this, so just go ahead and say something like, do it in me. Do it in me, God. I give you permission. Do it in me. Form me in the image of Christ. Let your love come alive in my heart like never before. God, help me love others in the way that you did. Help me be postured in servant-hearted humility, because Jesus, this was your way. Come, Lord. And so we openly and readily admit that in and of ourselves, we fall so short. We thank you that this life, this call is not dependent on our perfection. But again, Jesus, we thank you. You paid the price. You made a way. And so we take off all striving. We release ourselves from any sense of having to earn your favor or your love. God, we're not here to impress. God, I thank you that you do a work that's so much deeper than any of that. where our identity would be so rock solid in you that there's no room for any of that superficial mess anymore. Liberate us, free us, make us whole. And so, Father, I thank you that this year you're going to help each and every one of us through the power of the Spirit to step forward, to stumble and stand again, but that there is a deep and powerful work as we are formed more and more as a people walking in the way of Jesus, postured in servant-hearted humility. Be honored.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.